And if we could open our Bibles now at this stage to Mark's Gospel and the chapter 16. Mark's Gospel and the chapter 16. We'll read a few verses from this passage. But as we're looking it up, I'd just like to thank your minister for the opportunity to come and to be with you tonight. I've been in the church a few times before, but never to preach. So it's nice to come and to be able to preach in fellowship with the Lord's people, even on this occasion. But Mark's Gospel in the chapter 16, and we're just going to read a few verses tonight. We'll just break into the chapter at verse 15 and read down to the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 16, commencing our reading at the verse 15, the Word of God says to us, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen and amen." And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless even the public reading of his word to our hearts, even this evening. Tonight I want to take as my text the words of Mark 16 and the verse 15. That verse which reads for us, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You see, before the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, he left his disciples and indeed his church on earth with a most important and a most urgent task. It is a task that is not necessarily an easy task, but yet it is a vital one. It was a parting commission, and it was giving instruction, marking out their work and their duty that his disciples and those who followed him were to perform once he had left them. And it also outlines our work and our duty in this 21st century. This text, or this commission, is referred to in one form or another at least five times in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. And this command is often referred to as the Great Commission. And so, taking verse 15 as my text, before we come to prayer this evening, I want to just leave three thoughts with you on Christ's Great Commission. The first thing I want us to note is the message that is to be declared. We have there in verse 15, it tells us, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." There we have the message. It is the gospel. What is meant by the term gospel? Well, it is good news. It speaks of what Christ has done for sinful men. It speaks of what he has accomplished for them. The term gospel here, it refers especially to those essential soul-saving elements that men everywhere need to hear. And thus we are to preach the salvation of the Lord. We are to preach Christ and his work and his person. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 5, he was able to say, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." That is the biblical way, and that is what we ought to preach. And this message, it is a message that comes with authority. Its authority does not come from some mere man or from some dogma or statement of the church, but rather its authority comes from the Lord himself. It says there in verse 15, "And he said unto them," the Lord Jesus himself, he commissioned them and he sent them to preach that message which he had given them. It was the message of God. It was not our message. We are merely his instruments. We simply proclaim what Christ commands us to proclaim. In Matthew chapter 28 and the verse 20, one of the parallel texts of the Great Commission, it tells us there the Lord Jesus gives the command again, and he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. They were to go and they were to teach what the Lord Jesus Christ had given them. They were not to teach their own little notions. There are some they will try to add in their little ideas, their little traditions, their own little philosophies. But when those things are not founded upon the Scriptures, when those things are not founded upon the Word of God, they have no authority. The Word of God is our only rule of faith and of practice, and everything we do, everything we preach, everything we believe ought to be subject to it. But it is not just a message of authority. It is also a message that is power. You see, men and women, they have had their lives changed. They have had their lives turned around after hearing the gospel. That is what we desire today. We desire to see men and women, when they hear the gospel message, coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of their sin. And we desire there to be that change in their life. That change that comes when they are converted. We want to see lives changed like the Philippian jailer. Oh, whenever he heard the gospel, it was in a very simple, it was in an uncomplicated manner. He was simply told to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that jailer, he turned to Christ and his life was changed. He was wondrously and gloriously saved by the grace of God. In Romans chapter 1 and the verse 16, that verse, it describes the gospel as the power of God unto salvation. And the gospel message, that message that is to be declared, it is a message that not only has authority, but it is a message that has power. It also is a message of truth. In 1 Corinthians, in the chapter 15, and the verses 3 to 4, you really hear the core message of the gospel there in those two verses. It says there, the Apostle Paul, again writing, he states, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He states there the facts regarding Christ's death, and about his burial, and about his resurrection. And then he states that it was all according to the Scriptures. It was all according to the Word of God. The Scriptures testified to its accuracy. You see, the Old Testament Scriptures, they were the Scriptures the Apostle was referring to. They tell us about the coming of Christ, the promised Messiah, the Son of God, and how he would go on to give his life on the cross as that sacrifice for sin. And then the New Testament, it tells us how those prophesied events, they were fulfilled and how they were witnessed by others. The old Pharisees, they tried to make out that the resurrection of Christ was a sham, that it was a fraud, that it never happened. And they tried to use those arguments in an attempt to destroy the gospel message. But the death and resurrection of Christ was no sham. It was no fake. It was no fraud. But rather, it was real and it was true. And that is the message that we have to bring to this world. It is a message of truth. Is also a message of salvation. For we preach, as the Scriptures tell us, that all men are sinners. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It tells us that man is lost. It tells us that man is undone. And we are to preach that man cannot achieve salvation by his own works, by his own deeds, by his own religious efforts. But yet, despite the fact that there is nothing that man can do to save himself, the Bible tells us that there is hope, because it tells us how the Son of God came to this world and he died for sinners. He shed his precious blood and he rose again from the dead, paying that great debt of sin. Salvation is through faith in Christ. That is the message that we preach. That is the message that is to be declared. That is the message that this text is telling us when we are told to preach the gospel. It is to be declared right across this world. The Scriptures tell us that if we call on the name of Christ and we repent of our sin, that we shall be saved. Is that not a wonderful message that we can go and take to others? A message that we can present to friends and family, present to neighbors, and also even present to those who are strangers who we come across. What a gospel we have to declare. but also it is a message of importance. Because this message, it is a matter of life and death. If it is not heeded, the end result will be eternal punishment. And we know from Scripture that there is a day coming whenever the whole world will be judged, when the world will stand before that judgment throne and will give account. Even there in Mark chapter 16 and in the next verse, verse 16, it tells us, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." In that knowledge, we can state with the utmost of certainty that this is a most important message for people today. It is a message that people here in Port Leinonn need to hear. It is a message that people in County Antrim need to hear. It's a message that people here in Ulster and indeed on this island of Ireland and in the United Kingdom and right across the world, it's a message that this world needs to hear, because it is also that message of importance. When we consider its importance, let me ask you today, what are you doing with this message of the gospel? Are you seeking to declare it to others? Are you seeking to witness to others and to tell them how they can be born again, how they can receive salvation? Are you telling them how important it is that they are born again, that they are saved? Or are you just going about your business and just you're perhaps living a life that is godly, but you never seek to speak to others about the Savior? We've seen there the message that is to be declared. But also, secondly, you have the method that is described. And there's really two aspects that I want to note in regards to the method. And the first thing is that there is an obligation. You see, it tells us in our text, it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." There we have the obligation. We are told very clearly that we are to preach the gospel. We are to proclaim and publish what the Lord has done for us. We are to tell others of this wondrous message of deliverance. You may be thinking tonight, well, I cannot stand in a pulpit and I cannot preach a sermon. How then can I preach the gospel to every creature and play my part in the fulfilling of this great commission and play my part in obeying this command of Christ? Well, this word, preach, it does not only refer to public preaching, as we find in the pulpits of our churches, but it includes all of our witness for the Lord. We think of tract distribution. We think of personal witnessing to ones and twos as the Lord provides opportunity. Maybe it's just as you're going about your business, walking down the street, or maybe it's with a work colleague, or maybe perhaps you bump into someone in the shop and you have an opportunity to tell them of the Savior. That is preaching the gospel. We can think of children's work and all that is entailed within that and many other aspects. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that great Baptist preacher of the 1800s in London, he preached upon this particular text and he stated that the gist of this command is that we must make the gospel known to every creature by some means or other. Tonight, let me ask, what are you doing to spread the gospel? Are you telling others? Are you seeking to fulfill this obligation that is upon you, this command? Oh, people in this world, people in this town, they need to hear. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and the verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Men and women today, they need to hear. And if they do not hear the gospel, how will they be saved? But there's not only an obligation, but there is also the outlook, because the text, it tells us, "Go ye into all the world." You know, it teaches us that we are to preach the gospel in all places. Christ commands that we are to go into all the world. He says that we are not only to focus on our local area, on our local district, but we are to seek to spread that wonderful message right through this world. There is no limit placed on where the gospel is to be preached. We must evangelize at home, and then we must spread abroad. The apostles, whenever they commenced their evangelistic endeavor seeking to fulfill this commission, they commenced their witness in the city of Jerusalem. There they preached. We read in the book of Acts of Peter preaching there in Pentecost and preaching in the temple and in various places in Jerusalem. But as the time went on, they spread out to other places, whether that be Samaria, Antioch, Caesarea, and even to Rome itself. And thus we are to do the same. The gospel is to be spread here in the home place, and then it is to be spread further afield. But we are not only to preach the gospel in all places, we are to preach the gospel to all people. See, it also says there, preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel message was not just for the Jews, but it was also a message that was for the Gentiles. It was for all people. You know, here in Ulster, the gospel message is for all sides of the community. I was speaking just yesterday evening to another individual, and we were just commenting about how that there were some individuals who we both knew who would have, I suppose they would refuse even to evangelize an area, a Roman Catholic area. But yet, the Bible tells us that the gospel is to be spread to every creature. It's to go to all people. And that includes those who are Protestants, those who come from a Roman Catholic background, those who come perhaps from other backgrounds and from other lands. They are all to be reached. Both sides of the community, they need to hear it. But both sides also need to heed that message. The message is for those who are rich. It is for those who are poor. You know, we should never get comfortable just trying to reach those who are on the same social status as ourselves, or those who just hold to the same views as ourselves. Because all men need the gospel, and this command, this commission, is that we are to go to all men, rich and poor, upper class, working class, young, old, those who attend church services, those who perhaps would not darken the door of a church, they are all to be reached with the gospel. You know, we cannot expect them to come to us. We are commanded here. We are told to go ye into all the world. We are to go to them. We are to go, and we are to bring them the message of the gospel. Of course, we cannot make them believe it. We cannot save souls through our own power. But what we are commanded to do, we are to present the message of the gospel to them. We are to deliver it to them. And then we are to pray that the Lord would bless the word that they have received, and that the Lord would bring them to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the method. That is the method that is described here in Mark 16, in this text in the Great Commission. But then we come thirdly and finally tonight to see the messengers who are dispatched. And we see there in verse 15 our text. It says, and he said unto them, go ye. In the direct context, the Lord Jesus was instructing his disciples. He was instructing those who were following him here on this earth. And he was telling them that they were to go. They were being given a divine message or a divine mandate for evangelism. We see as we read the book of Acts that they sought to carry that out to the best of their ability. But yet this divine mandate, it did not only apply to the disciples and the apostles in those days. It applies to all believers. It applied to those who were in the early church there back in the early centuries. It applies to those in Reformation days, those great reformers. It applied in the early days of our denomination, back in the 1950s and onwards, and here in 2023, it still applies. We are the messengers who are to go. Christ has commanded. He has given us our marching orders, as it were, and we ought to obey. Men and women still need to be saved, and we are the ones who are to bring them the message of salvation. You know, there is a general call to evangelize. There's that general call because all of those who have been saved by the grace of God, they are called to evangelize in one form or another. And we are all to be witnesses of the gospel. We are all to be messengers, not maybe through the evangelistic endeavors of the local congregation, or perhaps maybe on a larger scale, such as things the Youth Council or Consider Christ would run. Maybe through personal interaction with individuals, as we mentioned. But the fact remains that each one of us, as we live our lives, we are called to spread the gospel in whatever ways we can. We have been saved to serve the Lord in this fashion. We have been told to go ye. Let me ask tonight, is that what you're doing? Can you say that you are playing your part in bringing the gospel message to people in this locality, in bringing the gospel to people in your family, your friends? Or are you just refusing to speak a word for the Lord? But there's not only that general call, there's also a specific call to evangelize. And by this, I mean a call to full-time service, whether that be for the gospel ministry, whether that be for missionary work, whether that be at home, or whether it be abroad. But the Lord calls men and women. He calls them specifically to serve Him in a particular place and to fulfill a particular role. There is a great need for ministers and for missionaries to serve in such a fashion. And we ought to pray that the Lord would raise up laborers to go and to engage in spreading the glorious message of the gospel, both here in Ulster and also abroad. Matthew chapter 9 and the verses 37 and the verse 38. You have the Lord speaking, and He's really saying how that is what the solution is to the problem of a lack of laborers. He says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You know, we are to pray that the Lord would raise up men to go and to engage in the work of the ministry. We're to pray that men and women would be raised up to go to the mission field and also to serve in the local congregation as they seek to fulfill this great commission. It is a matter that we can pray for. And there the Scriptures tell us, the Savior tells us, that is what we are to do. But let me ask tonight, if the Lord was to challenge you, and maybe He is challenging you about doing something more for Him, maybe it is entering full-time service, going to the Whitfield College and studying for the ministry, or studying to go out to the mission field. If the Lord was to speak to you, would you go? Would you be willing to go? Would your attitude be that of Isaiah's in Isaiah chapter 6 when the Lord called him to serve as a prophet? In Isaiah chapter 6 and the verse 8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then you have the response of Isaiah. The Lord is speaking to you tonight. I trust that this would be your response. It says, "Then said I, here am I, send me." The Lord burdened you to go and to engage in some work. Maybe it's in the local congregation. Maybe it will entail going to college and going further afield. Would you go? Or would you resist it? And would you say, "No, no, no, Lord, send someone else, raise another person to do that work"? What would your response be? You consider the need that there is. We think of how there's almost 2 million people here in Northern Ireland. There's close to 5 million in the Republic of Ireland. There's almost 70 million in the United Kingdom as a whole. And then we think of the billions that are across this world. How will they hear about the Lord Jesus Christ? How will they hear of their sin? How will they hear of the way of salvation if no one goes to tell them? There are millions in this very nation in which we live, and they are walking, they are marching like an army, marching down the road to a lost eternity in hell. Many, they've only heard what the various cults and those who proclaim a watered-down version of the gospel, which is really no gospel at all. It's a perversion of the gospel. That's what they've only heard what they have to say. They've never heard the true message of the Bible. They've never been told the truths about sin. They've never been told you need to repent of your sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them are told just to do the best they can and that it will all work out for them. It's astounding how many people actually believe that. Just maybe a couple of years ago, a good friend of mine was doing some evangelism in the town of Portadown, where I live. And after he'd finished, he'd phoned me up to tell me of just something that had happened to him. And he was just had his little table with a few leaflets, and he was giving out some tracts and the like. And this lady had come across and had seen what he was doing, and came over and just started chatting to him. And they were chatting about matters of religion. And the lady said to him, "Well, do you think I'm a sinner?" And the man said, "Well," he says, "it's not me saying it." He says, "It's the Bible says you're a sinner." He quoted Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whenever he said that, the lady, boy, she changed. And he told me that, he says, she started shouting at him and saying, I go to the one of the particular churches in the town and I pay my tithes. I'm a member of the church. I've been baptized. How dare you call me a sinner? And the man says, well, no, I didn't call you it. The Bible called you it. And she says, I'm not a sinner. And the man asks, he says, well, how are you trusting in Christ? And she says, no, I don't need to trust in anyone. I live a good life. I do good works. That was the attitude of someone in one of our towns that has probably been saturated with gospel preaching. She didn't understand. She didn't realize that she was, in fact, a sinner. And that is the reason. There's many people who have that attitude, but yet they have never actually heard the gospel at all. That lady had a privilege that day, even though I fear that she spurned it. She had a privilege of hearing the gospel from that gentleman. But there's many across this land, there's many across this world, and they've never heard. I remember being up in the city of Londonderry before I went to college on a youth council outreach, and we engaged in children's Bible clubs and doing some other various forms of outreach during the week. And one thing that shocked me and shocked numerous others on that outreach team was that when we were in some of those areas, they were loyalist, Protestant, Unionist areas. Areas where you would expect them to maybe have some knowledge of the scriptures. The children and the parents, they knew nothing about the Word of God. You asked them maybe, you know, some of the children, you know, have you heard of Jonah? Jonah and the whale? They didn't know. You asked about Moses? They didn't know. And whenever you mentioned the Savior to them, the name of our Savior was nothing more than a swear word. They had no idea at all. When you said we were having Bible clubs, they were asking, well, what's a Bible club? They didn't even know what the Bible was. They were children, they were adults as well here in this province. And it just highlights the need that there is to go and to spread the gospel message to them. We have had a great privilege and a great blessing in that regard, that we have heard the gospel message and the Lord has opened our hearts and we have been saved. But tonight, do you have that desire to go and to tell others? The work of spreading the gospel is hard. It is a work where there will be fears, there will be worries, there will be dangers. But yet even as we go forward in the spread of the gospel, we can take great encouragement, we can take great comfort from the words of Matthew 28 and both verse 18 and verse 20. The end, or verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then at the end of verse 20, what wonderful words of Christ we have. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And as we go forward in the gospel of Christ, we have that assurance that the one who has all power, the one who is in control of everything, he is with us. He is with you as you seek to speak to that little individual who you maybe bump into in the street and seek to point them to Christ. He's with you in the workplace. He's with you as you speak to family. It's a wonderful encouragement. But as I close, I just ask, do you seek to go forward and spread the gospel of Christ? If not, I implore you to obey this commission that has been given by the Lord. Obey his charter for evangelism. But whilst all believers have a part to play in it, and we ought to seek to fulfill it, it is also a matter that we should pray over. It's a matter that we should bring to the Lord, and we should ask that he would go before us, and that he would grant us opportunities, that he would open doors for us to witness, and that he would give us wisdom and direction with regards to what we should say. Let us pray even tonight for courage to speak a word for the Lord, and to not be afraid of man, and to trust the Lord to give us the words to say as we speak to sinful men who are going down that road that leads to a lost eternity. You know, there was a great missionary by the name of Hudson Taylor, and he stated regarding the Great Commission that the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, but it is a command to be obeyed. May we seek to obey that command even as we go forward in our service for God. And let us seek to spread the gospel and win the lost for the Savior. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Before we come down to prayer, we're going to just sing a few verses of another hymn, and then following that, one of the elders is going to come and bring some announcements, and then commence the time of prayer. The hymn number 623, found on page 428, God is here, and that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. See the cloud already bending, waits to drop the grateful shower. We'll sing the first verse and the fourth verse. So the first verse and the fourth verse, and standing as we sing.